Over the past decade, Jannik Nase Sagan has established himself as a strong musical leader and one of the most exciting talents of his generation.
Named music director of the Philadelphia Orchestra in June 2010, he made his Philadelphia Orchestra debut in December 2008 with Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony and Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2 featuring Andre Watts.
He has since led the orchestra in a breadth of repertoire ranging from the intimate Haydn Symphony No. 100 to the monumental Mahler Symphony No. 5 and launched a multi-year exploration of the world's great requiems with performances of the Mozart Requiem in January of 2011, as well as Brahms' German Requiem in November.
He will commence his inaugural season as music director of the Philadelphia Orchestra with the Verdi Requiem in October 2012.
But meanwhile, he will be conducting here in Saratoga next Friday, August 10th, and we welcome Jannik Nase Sagan to the roundtable this morning. Maestro, thank you very much for being with us.
That's a pleasure. Hi.
Hello. So how are things going in Philadelphia?
Wonderfully well, I have to say. Of course, as we all know, the orchestra has had a rough year because of the financial problems leading to the filing for bankruptcy. But thankfully, we are now out of this process and looking towards a very bright future. And I can feel every time I go there in Philadelphia in these years where I was designate that the connection with the audience is really starting to be really exciting, and my connection with the players is as good as it can be. So we are tremendously excited to look at the future, but also to present that chemistry also in Saratoga together.
So what were some of the things, the repercussions coming out of the bankruptcy in terms of what the players were feeling or the audience was feeling, so much as you can tell?
Well, of course, there was over the year, there was a feeling of uncertainty, something that, I wouldn't say fear, but there's something which is less stable. And in those moments, what we have to think is, what is the core? What is what makes the Philadelphia Orchestra unique? And we always talk about the Philadelphia sound, and to me, this Philadelphia sound is coming from the generosity of the players in their dedication, in their intensity, in their passion, and in the fact that everyone in the orchestra feels very important in terms of building up this unity of sound. Therefore, it's not a surprise, I think, that through this year of uncertainty, as I was saying, the quality of the playing has never failed. It was always to a very, very high level, thanks to Charles Dutoit as a chief conductor. And I can feel that now that I'm arriving, I can set the tone for something towards the future, and we can feel that we have an artistic project. And I feel also that not only the musicians, but also the partners of the orchestra, of course the management, the board, but more importantly the patrons and the donors feel that there's something, there's a new chapter here, and that is what is the most important, and what I believe led to be able to be out of that process.
So has this near-death experience made people recognize what they have, that they have this jewel, and they don't want to lose it?
Of course. You know, it's sad that in life sometimes one has to get to that state. We shouldn't have had to get to that state in order to have this kind of revived pride around the orchestra, but it certainly is. Every crisis in life has this opportunity of renewal, and this is certainly what we have. And very interestingly, I think in Philadelphia, and very specific to that orchestra, is that revival means also looking into our great history and great past. And many people in the orchestra still remember, and also in the audience, still remember the great years of Ormandy, then of Muti. And we lost a little bit of that that following whether it's, you know, it's for various reasons, whether it was moving from the Academy of Music to the Kimmel Center, mm-hmm. whether it is some programming choices, etc. And no one is to blame, but now it's my role to also revive that pride around the orchestra and link the orchestra even more to its own history.
When you come into this new, in the sense of you have been brought in, all of the problems are behind you in the sense of, yes, the repercussions are still there, but you are there to come in and to help right this ship. So are you allowed to really put the blinders on a little bit and worry about solely, as your title indicates, that of music director, of working on the artistic pursuits of this famed symphony orchestra?
Well, throughout that process, of course, I was not, like you're saying, I was not completely in the fire, because I was designate, and these matters were somewhat not related to my future tenure. However, I was kept always very closely informed, and I believe that as a music director, my main role is, of course, an artistic level, an artistic vision, but it is also saying this, that my main role is to be the vector, in a way, and around which every part of the orchestra association, most importantly the musicians, but also the board, also the staff members, and everything that revolves around the orchestra can recognize itself through the music director. So I'm someone who is approaching music making and being at the helm of an orchestra as a unifying factor. And I cannot say that I will focus only on the music and I let everything else aside. I mean, it's not my role, or it's certainly not the way I envision my role. And I don't think that's possible anyway in the 21st century. And I'm very happy to be the leader, not only of the musicians, but of the whole orchestra.
You mentioned that one of the possibilities of the problem of whether it was moving from one venue to another or the programming choices. I want to key in on the programming choice aspect of it. Do you keep that in mind in the sense of the history of this great orchestra, of whether it's an Ormandy or a Muti, as far as what you want to bring to the orchestra artistically? Is that nagging you in the back of your mind?
Well, the programming choices is always maybe what is the most challenging, interesting, gratifying, of the role of the music director. Programming is key to many things, and my previous 2 years were getting closer and closer to the orchestra were dedicated very much to me to understand what was in the DNA of the orchestra, not only by reading what kind of programming has been shaping up to this moment in history, but also through which repertoire can I touch this famous Philadelphia sound. Therefore, it is connected very much to what has been done in the past. And I'm not arriving with a blank page and saying, oh, I'm going to do this completely differently. No, not at all. I think the big ship, as you mentioned yourself, which is a nice image, of course, when we talk about orchestras, the new captain has to understand which route and which angle has been used. And any small shift of angle can make, in the end, a very big difference. And one doesn't need to be too drastic about any changes. So, yes, we will explore new repertoire. We will also, I've been interested so far in unearthing few things which were masterpieces which the orchestra have never played or haven't played since 20 or 30 years. For example, this Mozart Requiem was almost the first time the orchestra had played it. Next year we do also another choral work, the Matthew Passion by Bach. This has been over 30 years that the orchestra has played it. So this is very important, more place to American music. This is also one of my goals, but all is done also in order to focus more on the repertoire, which is the core repertoire of the orchestra, Germanic and also Russian, which will help me work even more in getting back this sound.
Maestro, is classical music in trouble?
I'm of a very optimistic nature, so I will tell you no. This business been said, there's a but. It's not in trouble. Maybe even the contrary, compared to maybe 10 or 20 years ago, I do feel worldwide an added value to classical music, an added interest. And we always talk about rejuvenating the audience, but I think sometimes we are too much obsessed with that, because people who can have the money and the space and the time to go and listen to classical concerts might be people who are more advanced in life, because family raising is done, the career is not is over, but I mean the time leading up to the career is done, and it's still important to put children in front of classical music in order not to get in trouble. But classical music will always have a certain aspect to be a classical musician. The aspect is to be a missionary somehow in every country, defending it, or more importantly, be so passionate about it that we can actually make people more interested. And my motto for me is not to try and convince everyone that this is great and that they will like it. Of course, I cannot force anyone to like classical music, but what I can do is to make sure that everyone feels welcome to our concerts and to the classical music in general. And having this attitude, because we have more and more crisis in our world, especially the orchestra world, is, as I was saying, an opportunity to revisit that attitude of distant, which is not what music is about. You know, Mozart knew that he was writing for everyone to hum his melodies in the street, but the specialist would know why. But we sometimes target too much the specialist somehow, and we are afraid to be open to everyone, even if they don't know what music we're playing. So that is more my motto, and I believe more and more people of my generation in music have this attitude.
Yannick will be making its premiere at SPAC on Wednesday, August 8th, with superstar Chinese pianist Lang Lang. He will also be conducting on Friday night for the Family Night performance on August 10th. You can find out more information about both performances at SPAC.org. You excited to be making your premiere in Saratoga?
This is one of the most fun things to look forward to, because coming from Montreal, I always heard about Saratoga, which was not too far, and Charles Dutoit being for so many years in Montreal, and also with Philadelphia and Saratoga. I always looked forward to performing in that venue. So, yeah, that's very exciting for me.
Maestro, thank you very much for being with us. I wish you could have been with us in person, but it's a delight to be here at SPAC and a delight to have you on the program this morning.
Thank you, Maestro.
Thank you very much.
Yannick Naizer-Sagan will be conducting here in Saratoga, the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, on Wednesday, August 8th, and again on Friday, August 10th. You can find out more information by going to SPAC.org, SPAC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.